Hello there, and welcome to Quite So, the podcast in which I take on various topics from my own personalized lens so that you'll always end up with my unwarranted opinion. I am your host, Dada, and I want to remind you that this podcast airs bi-weekly on Sundays on the following platforms: YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. I also urge you to visit my website, dadaisms.com, that's D-A-D-A-I-S-M-S. Today's episode is titled Money Dynamics 2, the Kim Kent interview. You guessed it. For the first time on my podcast, I have a guest being interviewed. Kim Kent, an Australian who lives in Perth, is a revolutionary money coach who challenges the old norms with an innovative approach to financial empowerment. Her bold insights and fearless coaching style have been featured in magazines such as Mamma Mia, Cosmopolitan, and the San Francisco Review that placed her among the top 10 money coaches to look out for. I had the added pleasure of attending Kim Kent's online bootcamp 2 weeks ago, which was free for only one time. And my aim here is to try and condense 4 hours of that bootcamp into a half hour for you. So without further ado, let us get on with the interview. Hello, Kim Kent. I'm so glad to have you here. Me too. We're going to start today, you know, with your background on money matters, your childhood, how you got here to where you are today.
Yes. Oh, I love this. Look, I have been sharing this story for a few years now, and you'd think that I've gotten it down to like a 2-minute spiel, but we'll see. But I'll share it. And thank you so much for having me on the show. So look, I wasn't born into wealth at all. Like, I was born into a middle, lower class family. There was always so much stress around money. My parents always fought about money. They divorced when I was 8. I became a child of divorce. I knew way too much about child support. And honestly, I never felt like I was good enough. There never was enough money. Our world revolved around money, even though there was like none of it. And, you know, I always heard things like money doesn't grow on trees, rich people are greedy. But my parents, in their own way, so they both showed it differently, but there was so much scarcity and stress and but obsession around money. It was just like everything was about money if we'd have had any. So I developed this belief of like, I need to be successful when I become an adult and earn lots of money so I don't stress like my parents do. Like, money is the be all and end all. I always knew I wanted to be my own boss because I would be a terrible employee because I'm very good at being a boss. And I was like, I'm going to do this. So all the challenges that come with that in itself, when you start your own online business, especially when your family think that you should be going to and getting a job and working for the next 40 years and hopefully build a retirement and then enjoy your hard-earned cash, yeah. You know, and I built to the top level of the company, so the top promotional level. So I built it to a full-time business. So I turned 27 years old and I was making 100 grand a year. And I was like, I did this. I've succeeded. And like, this is 27, I'm 34 now. So however many years ago, 7 years ago,
yeah.
I had no mortgage, no husband, no child, which I have now, right? 100 grand, nothing to show for it. No savings. I had maxed out credit cards. I got paid monthly and I was rich for the week that week I got paid. And then I was broke for the next 3 weeks waiting for my pay to land again. That's when I kind of hit this point of like, what needs to change? It wasn't until I decided I actually need to invest in myself and get the skills, get the accountability, do the work. That's when everything changed. It was like I was the caterpillar. I went into the cocoon and I did the work. I healed my relationship with money. I healed my childhood trauma with money, like all specific to money. This was the key, not just specific to my life, not that broad, specific to my actual relationship with money. And I actually learned about wealth principles and how to manage my money and universal law and the science to and the energy to money.
Yeah.
And I think I came out of the cocoon, the butterfly, and within just a couple of years, without actually earning more, I never actually earned more in the first couple of years after this. So pretty much the rest of my 20s, I was on the 100 grand a year. I had a debt-free wedding. I got married to my now husband. We had a debt-free wedding. We saved 100 grand. We invested in our first property. I was working less for the same amount of money. I shared what I had learned, and I actually taught them like what I learned works and what doesn't work, and I made it easier and more feminine to match the masculine of money. And that's when I realized like this is what I'm meant to do. Like my pain became my passion and my purpose, and then I built a whole program around it, which is incredible.
Yeah, I just want to say that, your background story is, I'm sure many are going to find so familiar. I, for one, resonate with a lot of what happened with you on different levels. You work with women alone. You don't work with men at all.
It's like I work with anyone who I work with the person who is. You know, they know they're earning good money and have nothing to show for it. So they've done the work of getting the money, but now they need to do the work to manage it and handle it. I just attract a lot of women because a lot of women want to work with another woman.
True.
And it is a stereotype or maybe a cliche for me to say, but based on the years I've been doing this and in my experience, men don't really want to still listen to women about money. Lately, in the last few months, it has opened up, but I still attract the women. So the women who are in relationships, marriages, like the men take part too as well, but they don't really care. They don't really are attracted to the energetics and the mindset side. They're attracted to the logistical side that I also provide. But I haven't had in my whole 2.5 years, oh, actually I've had one male come to me who was already a friend. But look, the men can come and work, like come check it out.
Let's talk about the money container. I love this idea that, we are each born with a money container, the same amount, the same size, but depending on what we put in this money container, it could
Yeah.
fill up with money or fill up with other things. So give us an idea about this.
Every single human on this planet is born 100% worthy. We all have the exact same capacity to have whatever we want to have in this lifetime. So we all have the same energetic capacity, right? And as a baby, all the same. What happens is, so if we think about a container like a big bucket, what happens is over time throughout life, you have experiences based off being told things, witnessing things. So they teach you by how you watch them talk about money to themselves, other people, friends, how they react with money when bills come in, how they interact with other people like their partner or family, all of that. And that's how we learn as a child about money. We learn what's right for and wrong. So when we're learning this is what starts to like take up capacity in our bucket. Now, if any of the things we learn is around money is scarce, money doesn't grow on trees, rich people are greedy, anything, any belief that aligns with being broke or having financial stress, when we're holding that in our container or in our, that's taking up capacity. It's taking up room for if you do, like when you become an adult and you have big money goals and you're like, well, I want the $1 million business or I want the big juicy income. I want the 100 grand buffering in the bank account. I want the investment property. Whatever the strategy and goals are that you want, if you're and they align with wealth, if the beliefs and emotions that you have around money that's stored in this in your capacity, if they don't align with that, there's not enough room for the new stuff to come in, if that makes sense. So what we need to do is we need to clean out the capacity. Like we need to remove the shit that's keeping us feeling broken, keeping us in those spending loops, those sabotaging money behaviors, keeping us in that stress. And we need to clean that out. So then the work we want to do to build the wealth, that can, what we then learn about that and the new skills and behaviors that can come in and take place, if
So
that makes
this
sense.
is where the healing comes in. And so you heal your issues around money, you align and you fill your bucket with actual money and not fears and anxieties and all sorts of bull, so to speak.
You increase your capacity to hold more. So this is why my husband and I will always have like we bought the $1 million home. And we still kept 100 grand in our minimum six. I always have a minimum six figures buffering in the bank, liquid. Like, and my nervous system is safe to hold that. Back in the day, I inherited $62,000 10 years ago, right? So it was worth more than it is now, and I blew it all because I wasn't conscious of this because I was desperate for more money, but I didn't feel safe enough to actually hold it.
Today, if you today inherited $62,000, How would you allocate it? What would you do with it?
I would create a strategy to make that money make me more money. So I would go invest in the expert to tell me this is how much money I have, where's the best place to put it. But the last thing you want to do is pay off any debt. Like if I won a lot of inheritance, you gave me a lump sum of money, thank you. That I will keep that. And then make, do you know what I mean? Like it's mine to hold because it's been given to me.
Whenever anyone is asked about, the money, they always say, "Oh, I want to give my parents this amount, my siblings this amount, my friend this amount." We never believe we are worth the whole amount. Why am I not worth the $1 million, the whole $1 million, or the whole $10 million? Why should I give it away and give away the energy with it? Because you're giving away energy.
They're selfish with love. We've just grown up being told that selfish is bad and you should give, give, give. Now, the more money I have, the more I have to give. So if I give it all away before I can make more from it, I'm doing a disservice. So to me, it's like I want to help out my parents. I want to help out, of course, right? If I inherit money, if I won lotto, say I won $1 million, or I just received $1 million. Randomly, lotto is just usually the best example. I won $1 million. I would not work out percentages on who how I'm going to split it. That money will go to work. I'll invest it. I'll make money, and then from the profits, then I can look at how I'm going to split that up. So that baseline was always me, and it's a different way to think about it because we think $1 million is heaps. I can still leave myself with a big chunk and help others. No, like, what if you could keep the $1 million, keep it making more money, and then you can still help out and not feel any resentment if you've given and it hasn't been appreciated?
I think one of the first steps you discussed in your boot camp is writing a forgiveness letter to yourself.
It's something that it's not a one and done. It is a practice, but every time you do it, it's like going to the gym. You get fitter and stronger, fitter. You're cleaning up your capacity. You're cleaning out the bucket or the container. You want to get really clear on where are you holding onto any guilt, shame, resentment, embarrassment, anger, all of those negative, low vibrational emotions. Like, where are you holding onto that in your life against yourself? And against other people, which is usually mum, dad, partner, siblings, best friends, like people who are really close in your immediate life, right? And get really clear on them. And then it's step by step, one thing at a time, one emotion at a time. Like I was guilty. I held on to so much guilt and shame that I blew my inheritance. So that was when I was 24. I started money coaching when I was 29. I was still holding on to it. I didn't even realize. Who am I to be a money coach when I blew my inheritance? I had so much shame around that. And then when I cleaned it up, it's like, hang on, this is the whole point, right? This is where I've come from. This is what I would do now. But I had to forgive 24-year-old Kim. I first heard about it through Denise Duffield Thomas, who she does money mindset work. It's the we can I can never pronounce it, the hop hop and no no
Ho-oh-oh-oh-oh.
or
We were talking about that before. The Ho-oh-oh-oh-oh chant, which goes with I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and I thank you.
Yeah, so
It's
it's the
just
thanking. It's finding the gift. It's finding the lesson. So what did I learn? Right? And so I'm writing this to past self. So 34-year-old Kim, if I was to, well, I did it when I was about 30, 29. So 29-year-old Kim was doing this to 24-year-old Kim. And I had to thank 24-year-old Kim for what did she teach me in that moment about myself? What did I learn? Because usually from that I've learned what not to do going forward, then it's the forgiveness. It's a pure, just I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm sorry for holding the grudge. Because for the 5 years there before I did the work, for 5 years, I was being the mean girl and I was holding this shame and guilt on 24-year-old Kim. When 24-year-old Kim, she didn't freaking know any better. She was working her butt off. She never felt like she was good enough. And who am I, 29-year-old? Like all this time, I'm just adding pressure. And being, so I had to apologize. I apologized to her. So that's the duality. That's where you forgive or you thank and forgive the other person, whether it's past self or mum and dad in the past or even mum and dad today, wherever it is, right? But you need to take responsibility because the only reason you have resentment on someone else is by your own choice and your own doing. Like
So
you're choosing.
ultimately, So ultimately, it is not one letter, it's several letters. One to your mom, one to your dad, one to yourself at different stages, one to I don't know who, whatever did what to you. So it's like maybe 10 letters to start with.
It's a practice. So like I
Yeah.
did it the other day. I do it usually. I get triggered from a parent
Yeah.
or my husband or a best friend, depending where they're at, because they're so close in my life. And so if I'm feeling triggered, instead of old Kim would be like, oh fuck, they're just like, it's their fault, they're acting this way. It's like, no, I take responsibility. They're not triggering me. I am triggered by them. So it's not their fault. It's me. It's my shit. So I'll do the process and I'll say, okay, where is the lesson, Kim? Like, get out of your ego. Don't hold the grudge. Because if I'm just going to say shitty at my husband, for example, he's energetically going to feel that. It's going to cause a disconnect in our relationship. It creates yucky energy that takes up capacity when all we want to do is create the most abundant life for ourselves. So I've got to do that. Even if I'm not in the wrong, and even if you look at lay all the cards out on the table, even if the other person is genuinely in the wrong, right? It doesn't matter because they don't have the problem, you have the problem. So you have to do the work. They can't do the work to clean it up for you. So yeah, it's not like, oh my God, I have 100 letters to write. It's just a process.
Let's talk about the universal law of circulation and how money flows, how you receive money.
The universe, everything in life is made up of energy. Quantum physics proves this. So everything is energy. Money is energy. Life is everything's energy. Now, energy, well, if you look, the smallest measurable piece of matter is an atom, and an atom is made up of energy. That's how we know everything is energy. Now, an atom has a positive and a negative electronic wave, and it is constantly cycling through the positive and negative phase, constantly, always. The only time it stops is like the death, the stagnation, the death, and that's energy. Energy doesn't really die ever, it just transfers. But for the sake of this example to make sense, right? It's constantly flowing, which means it's constantly circulating, which means everything in life is circulating. Universal laws are a set of guidelines, laws that govern the harmony or the harmonious state of life. And so there's multiple universal laws that all work with each other, and they work with everything in life. So what we need to do is, when we can understand how they work with our relationship with money, we can align with them. And when you align with universal law, you have less struggle. When humans resist universal law, you struggle more. So universal law of circulation, if everything circulates, money circulates. Money is just energy, which means money is always flowing. Money is unlimited because energy is unlimited. But when we grow up believing that money doesn't grow on trees, we think money is limited. So that's why we start to struggle and create that there's not enough, there's not enough. Even though you start earning six figures, you start multi-six figures, you start earning more money, it never feels like they're enough because your beliefs don't align with the universal law. You're resisting it. So circulation, money must circulate. So there's a three phases. So in life, the phases are build, maintain, destroy. Everything is circulating that. So when it comes to money, it's spend, hold, receive, spend, hold, receive. So you want your ability to spend with confidence, to trust that it's going to come back to you. You want that a 10 out of 10. You want your ability to hold money, have safety in holding money, a 10 out of 10. And did I say spend or receive first? I
No,
think I said spend.
spend first.
Yeah, receive, hold and then receive. You're open to receiving a 10 out of 10. And usually when, not usually, every single time I have a client come to me, a potential client, and they end up working with me, and this was me, any kind of scarcity or money stress, it's because this cycle is not flowing perfectly. Like there's a blockage, right? There's a limitation, there's things in there. So, and how you can recognize it in your everyday life is, you could be like, I really want more money. I'm open to receiving. And you go out for coffee with your girlfriend and she offers to pay, and you're like, no, I've got this. Universe literally was giving you money in the form of paying for your coffee, but you rejected it. So the universe is always trying to give you money when you want more money, but you need to see where you're actually blocking it, because your ability to receive has been is not aligning with universal law. In the circulation of spending, like, you know you have to spend. You buy food, you pay for bills, you put a roof over your head. You want to buy the luxury items. You are spending. But if you're spending and going and shaming yourself or guilt tripping yourself or being like, shit, I better restrict now, or justifying all your spending, It's icky energy. So, like, you're going to spend anyway. So, you need to spend from a point of I trust the circulation. More money's always going to come. And then your ability to hold as we expand your nervous system's capacity to feel safe with more money in the bank, the more money in the bank you're going to have.
Why is it important to specify amounts you want to receive?
An amount you want to receive. Because if you say, I just want more money. I just want more money, universe. I love more money. I'm praying, I'm manifesting. I want more money. The goal is more money. And you go to the shop because you need to buy groceries and you see $2 on the floor. Did the universe deliver? Yeah.
And
But
then
does that excite the fuck out of you? Like, oh my God, I just found $2 on the floor. Thank you, universe. You know, inside, maybe not jumping in the middle of a car park, but that's the thing, right? We have to be specific because that was specific enough to whether you got an extra $2 or $10,000, it's more money. So you need to be specific. Money flows to where it's organized most, and organization requires specificity or to be specific. So the more specific you are, the more you're going to channel that energy. So if you're like, well, no, I don't want more money, I want an extra $10,000. You won't necessarily manifest, you won't necessarily be like a 10 grand land in your bank account, maybe, but you will attract opportunities to support that outcome.
True.
So that's how the universe provides, yeah.
So out of our conversation, and you've said it in the boot camp, that basically money energy makes up 80%. Of your ability to make or lose money. That's
Yeah.
80%, a lot. So tell us a bit more about that. I
So
mean,
in life, like your outside world is just a reflection of your inside world. This is something I learned and it blows my mind every single time I think about it. The universe only exists because you think it. Everything in life in your outside world is a reflection of your inside world. So your relationship with money, same deal, which means it's pretty much 80% mindset, 20% logistics. So what we think, what people who are struggling or stressed or want more money, they think it's all the logistics. I just need to earn more. I just need to budget better. I need to see the physical numbers in the bank account. I need to work with that. It starts from within.
so it's so funny how we want money, but when money comes to us, we are afraid. We don't know if we can handle it. What am I gonna do with it? We get anxious. I'm talking of course here about like more than a salary. We're talking about extra money or a larger amount of money, like the inheritance, for example, And this restriction, which is this energy of restriction, is going to force us into ruining it for ourselves instead of expanding into the money and just, welcoming it with open arms.
Exactly. Well, you're just a broadcasting system. Like we just broadcast out to the universe and we attract back in. This is a law of attraction, right? So the whole like attracts like. People used to think, well, there's different ways to think about it. I never used to really like it because like attracts dislike because there's duality in life. But what it means with the like attracts like is the energy you put out is what you're going to get back in, or you're going to be given opportunities to stay that way. So if you still feel stressed and restricted, you're going to keep attracting reasons to be restricted with money, even though on the inside you're dying to make more. Yeah.
This brings us into the important part of trust yourself with money. Do you want to talk about a bit more about trust, how you can
Trust me.
trust
So,
yourself, trust money, trust the system, trust the universe? How would you put that?
trust is the same as worth, like feeling worthy. So when you're born, you're 100% worthy. You're 100% trusting. You literally trust your mother, whoever's the mother, to feed you, right? Then what happens is we grow up, and most of the time, and usually happens all the time, but most of the time, especially if you grow up in scarcity, it happens all the time. Things will happen, and it not, doesn't have to necessarily be specific to money, but money is always usually involved. But something will happen where your parents won't give you money for lunch at the canteen because they can't afford it. And so, but you as a child can't comprehend. They can't afford it. You just hear you're not good enough. So you think, why are my friends good enough to get the money to buy the icy pole when I'm not? Anyway, when all that happens, you're losing trust and faith and worthiness within yourself. I guess I'm trying to think of specific money examples. There's a lot around your parents paying for things or having lunch for school or having the nice, like I grew up in the 90s. So when TVs
Like
came out,
maybe basic survival, so to speak, if you will.
survival. Yeah. And then we don't feel worthy, so we don't trust ourselves to be good enough. And then it replays out in our behaviors. So if our subconscious is like, I'm not good enough, there's never enough, I'm stupid, I'm not capable. But your conscious mind is like, I'm going to act like the millionaire, I'm going to do all the things. So that's why deep down you're not trusting yourself, which is then why you'll sabotage, inherit the money, spend it straight away. So, how to trust yourself? We rewrite the money stories that's going on. So we heal that part. And then you have to have a management plan. Like you need to be given a new structure to follow. This is why I'll never just do money mindset work, because I've had clients come to me and they're like, my mindset's strong, but and I'm earning really good money and I've doubled my income in a year. Still, my management is so poor. So you need the structure, you need the blueprint to follow. So if that's at least guiding you based on universal laws, this is what I teach, the money blueprint, you have something to follow, and then that physical behavior of following it is slowly, slowly but surely and permanently building the trust.
This brings us towards the end of this episode, and I want to give you like a couple of minutes to tell us about the Wealthy as Fuck program that you have, and we'll end the episode on that note.
Yes. Well, look, I feel like I gave a pretty good journey description through today because that's what I teach. Like my framework is your mindset, your management, and your manifestation, the three core pillars. So the Wealthy as Fuck program, it's an online money course, and I teach you the signature money blueprint to set up and manage your money the right way. You learn the Think Rich method so we can remove your sabotaging money beliefs, clean up the emotions you have around money. You learn how to break through your glass ceilings, your income glass ceilings, create safety in holding lots of money in the bank, and ultimately you build the structure for financial freedom with your current income. It's very intimate with the coaching, as in it's as close to one-on-one coaching I can give you without the one-on-one price tag. But can you see how you when you learn it and you get the blueprint, like you have that for a lifetime. Once your 12 months is finished, you can choose to stay in the community or spread your wings and fly. Either way, you're going to spread your wings and fly. But it's not like you're going to stop at 12 months and just throw everything out the window. Like once you have the spreadsheet set up and you're plug and playing your money and your finances through that, you have that forever. And my clients, on average, are adding an extra $20,000 to their savings buffer without needing to earn more. I just had one of my clients, Amy, she's been working with me for 18 months, tell me, took her a while. I caught up with her and she was like, oh, yeah, I've saved 200 grand since working with you. And I'm like, amazing. Telling me now that she's saved 200 grand. I remember when we did our first chat together and she was so stressed, so broke. And she's like, I earn money, I have nothing to show for it. $200,000 in total, she'd saved.
Thank you, Kim, for this brilliant interview. This brings us to the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed preparing it for you. Thank you for listening.